Good morning and welcome to Leftover Grounds. It is WEF Wednesday, and we're going to be talking about AI, brought to you by the World Economic Forum and Gaia. it's interesting. We get to hear from Vilas Dhar from the Patrick J. McGovern Foundation, Arvind Krishna, the CEO of IBM, Henrietta Fore, the Executive Director of UNICEF, and Will.i.am. These are the people that are going to be bringing you AI into your living room, into toys with your kids and schools. It's going to be very interesting, so let's get into it.
Our session, and most importantly, the launch of the Global AI Action Alliance, intentionally shortened to Gaia. So what is the Global AI Action Alliance? It's a multi-stakeholder collaborative platform and project accelerator to speed up the adoption of inclusive, trustworthy, and transparent artificial intelligence across all sectors and all needs. It provides an umbrella platform for everyone working on responsible AI to be able to come together to engage in real-time learning, pilot new responsible AI tools and approaches, scale the adoption of best practices, and undertake collective action on emerging challenges, and then through the forum to amplify that work everywhere that it's needed through our networks in government, art, academia, civil society, and business.
I'm actually a big fan of AI. One of my biggest regrets is that I won't be able to be alive long enough to experience Star Wars, like going to space, flying around in fighter jets, laser swords. And Star Wars is kind of cool, you know, and Star Trek and everything. You'd have lots of AI in there, you know, droids and learning computers and all sorts of stuff. But all the computers and all the droids were definitely subservient to the human beings. I'm not so sure about this organization's view of how AI is going to be integrated into our lives, but I will tell you this, it's going to happen. And these are the people that are going to make it happen. And so we kind of got to get our minds wrapped around that and how we can either fall in line with what they want or live outside of it, really. But let's hear from this lady's talking about it. And I'll tell you what, they should probably have a different front person. I thought she might be actually AI herself, but she's real. The next person that speaks here, I'm just going to give you a little clip of it, is from the Patrick J. McGovern Foundation, which is they want to use AI for good. A lot of money. I mean, you'll hear how much money in a minute. But let's hear what this guy has to say.
Vilas, you're known for your work in global AI for good. Why do you think the alliance is needed, and why is it needed now?
It struck me this morning as I prepared for this panel that the term artificial intelligence, as familiar as it is maybe to our panelists and some of our audience, for much of the world still reflects a pretty abstract vision of maybe something that feels like a science fiction future. But I've sloshed through the rice paddies with a farmer standing next to me, showing me how the predictive analytics that are delivered on her phone change how she plants and harvests rice, how she affects the livelihood of her family on an everyday basis. I've seen how AI can capture and bring to life dead and dying languages of indigenous peoples, giving, of course, voice to the vocabulary of those languages, but also celebrating the identity of peoples. I've spent time with children playing with AI-enabled toys and seen how that dynamic learning creates new wings for creativity and inspiration. Since we're among friends, I'll also share with you, I've probably spent an inordinate amount of time playing with those toys. But we've also begun to see how AI is affecting our lives in maybe less positive ways, how it's creating new divides in civil discourse, how it's giving voice to implicit and sometimes explicit racial bias, how it's silencing the voices of the most marginalized. And the fact of the matter is, right now, these technologies are being created by technologists, by academics. They're controlled by policymakers. It's not my view that they're necessarily the wrong hands, but it's certainly the case that they are too few hands to shape our common future. If we're all going to be residents of a global human village, my question is, shouldn't we, the collective we, also be the architects in the next generation of products? To support this work, the Patrick J. McGovern Foundation today is making a series of commitments to support the use of AI for good. First, a commitment of $40 million in grants to support nonprofits and community organizations to begin the process of deploying these AI products in pursuit of their already existing goals. These organizations know the challenges that we must face. The Alliance will bring together partners that can help to do that.
So Vilas, his take on it is interesting. I believe he thinks that right now AI is exclusive only to certain groups and that it's not including other groups. And he wants to make it available to everybody and it can help farmers and all this other good stuff. And then the toys and the kids and toys and stuff, that's really where it started to get me. And I didn't understand quite what he was talking about until I heard from Will.i.am in a little bit and then this other lady from UNICEF. But first things first, let's hear from a businessman, right? Somebody, the CEO of IBM, he's got to have a level-headed take on this.
I think public statements are no longer enough. Society is asking leaders from everywhere, business, government, institutions, to act to restore faith in our institutions. So why around AI? Artificial intelligence is one of the rare technologies that offers to unlock 14 trillion, yes, that's trillion with a T, in global productivity. So think of that as GDP over the next 15 years. But there's a big inhibitor. The inhibitor is trust. Can we trust these technologies to truly do what we'd like them to do what good policy would dictate they should do? If it's a smart speaker, if it's something like that, probably it's fine. We don't need to regulate it very heavily. But if it's making life and death decisions, policing decisions, medical decisions, decisions on which government service you may get, all of which is going to happen, the genie's out of the bottle, then we need to act to ensure that these technologies are being used in an ethical way.
Yeah. Policing, deciding what government services we can have. I mean, if it's just a speaker, that's no big deal. It's just listening on audio conversation. Wasn't that like the main thing in 1984 was having the little TV telling you to get up and do your exercises? I get what he's trying to say. There needs to be ethical decision-making. And since, like he said, the genie's out of the bottle, this is going to happen. This is the CEO of IBM, by the way. But who decides what's ethical? Because the way the World Economic Forum is set up right now, I don't think they're ethical. And I know other people will think that, but how do you get me to come over to that side? Seriously, is there a secret formula? Because it's going to take a lot of convincing and likely I'm just going to be pushed to the side. Well, hey, you're a dissenter. You don't get government services. I don't know. I mean, it sounds really creepy and honestly a little bit frightening to think about AI making decisions on policing and government and things like that. There's a reason why people are able to do that. And yes, they make mistakes, but nothing is black and white. And that's the problem. These people think they can paint with a broad brush and get everybody to come into one way of thinking and fall in line and accept this because they'll be able to take care of them. And that will not work, I promise you.
Just like Vilas and Arvind have said, I think it's going to be a very important turning point in how we as a world structure and think about artificial intelligence. You know, one third of the users of the internet are children around the world, and yet we have one half of the world not connected. So what happens when they go online? They see a whole nother world. There are AI-enabled toys, and there are virtual assistants, and there are chatbots, and there are those who tell you what to learn next, what to read next, who to be your friend. So many guidance activities happen on the internet for children. So Gaia will be a very important vehicle for us to see this world through children's eyes.
So according to this person, our kids are probably going to deal with AI a bit more than we are. And AI is going to be involved in everything they do and integrated into it. She did have some good ideas, I think, about using AI to hunt down and find sexual predators online. I don't know why they're not doing that right now. I believe Twitter could easily be doing that, but they don't. And child pornography is constantly being found there and allowed to rest on Twitter. But I do think that's a great idea. That's the thing about these people, though, is they're constantly bringing in really good ideas just to kind of reel you in a little bit. But some of this stuff, if you think about it, is kind of, I guess it could be terrifying for somebody like me, right? Maybe it's not for you. I don't know. But I don't want AI teaching my kids, but I think Will.i.am, and I actually think he probably was most level-headed, probably because of his upbringing. He came from nothing and is who he is now. At the same time, what he's speaking about, it terrifies him. You can hear it in his voice, but he's trying to figure out a way to control it, right? But check this out.
We saw firsthand the whole entire world, how fragile society is and how everything could be shut down. And people didn't realize that school for kids that are coming from underdeveloped communities, at-risk students, how school is a refuge. And learning from home is hard when your parents, you know, have two jobs. There's a lot of parents that don't even have jobs and can't feed their kids at three meals. And school was the way for them to have their three meals. It's hard to learn when the teacher is taking shortcuts. And there's a lot of awesome teachers that came through and stepped up during COVID. But there's also a lot of teachers that took advantage of the fact that they didn't have the traditional regimen of grading. So AI could be an amazing tool to help educate a whole new fleet, a whole new troop of folks that are going to go out in the world and create new jobs, let alone fill the jobs that are not filled. Then you also want to upskill and encourage kids to build AI tools from inner cities and, you know, poverty-stricken areas. They need to be a part of that conversation. So it's both ways. It's front and back. AI educating people and then people building AI that's going to serve society, right? There's a lot of AI in our lives now, and it's a very loose term. A lot of people don't really understand what AI is. They think it's sci-fi, when in actuality, it's around us and every device that we hold, there's some type of AI inside of it. But when it comes to kids, you know, I'll be looking for AI that is mindful, has a human approach, and takes into consideration the moment of a kid playing. And then when that AI, what that AI is doing to mine and monitor, because that should not be, a kid should not grow up and worry about the toy it played with and how the AI was learning the child. That to me is a very thin ice.
So he says it's a 360 thing, right? Where we have to, and he's really focused on urban areas and inner city kids getting involved in, which I think is a great idea. They should be involved in this kind of thing, you know, and learning it just as much as anybody else anywhere has that opportunity. I don't see why they don't have that opportunity. But anyway, he's speaking about how he wants to get these underprivileged kids access because they're going to be the ones teaching the data, right? They're going to be the ones teaching the AI and providing the data that they need to operate and learn. And then in return, the AI is going to teach the kids. So it comes full circle. And this is where I have a problem. Who's going to be responsible for deciding who inputs into these AI platforms? The World Economic Forum? Really? Because that excludes a lot of people, including me, from that conversation. And the only thing that bugs me about the WEF is they're constantly talking about fairness, inclusivity, transparency, and all this stuff. But it's only if it falls in line with Klaus Schwab's view of what the world should be like, his direction, his vision for it. And I don't think all the people who are in the World Economic Forum are like evil overlords. I think they have the best of intentions, but I also believe they're a bit of control freaks too. And I don't know if they've experienced enough evil in their lives maybe to understand that I don't necessarily trust them putting that information into this AI and then just going, okay, I'll let this thing learn my son and be able to be predictive with my son and what they're doing. I'm not naive. I want my kids to be well-versed in technology because I think it's a great thing. It's important. I use it all the time in my business. I'm a predictive analysis professional. I can see AI being really great in this area, but I don't think that this group understands that they are not inclusive and fair. They're inclusive of minority people and the ultra rich, which leaves out a bunch of other people. Because if you look at their partners and the people they have as their front men here, even in this organization, it's not all inclusive. It doesn't take into consideration certain people groups. And so if you're training AI to be fair and on their terms only, it's not going to be fair. And fair is a completely... It's so subjective. It's ridiculous. You can't, I always keep telling my son, there's no such thing as fair. This is a pipe dream. It's a pipe dream for people who think they have control over things and think that they can implement some kind of utopian society. Maybe that can happen someday. And maybe it's AI that takes us there, but it's not going to happen without wiping out dissenters and keeping those people either separate where they're living off the grid or to where they just disappear. Because you can't force people to accept AI. There's a lot of people now that don't accept it, that don't want anything to do with it. I control what my kids do. They're not on social media. They will not be on social media until they turn 18 and can make decisions on their own. And you might be like, oh, that's crazy and extreme. We'll talk about that when my kids are 20, 22, and your kids are having to change their names because of all the stupid things they did on social media and things they posted that are going to be used against them in the future. It's happening right now. So what's it going to look like in the future? Is an AI going to see a certain profile and say, oh, that person is a dissenter. They're potentially going to commit these kinds of actions in the future. We have, you know, Minority Report. If you haven't watched the movie, watch it. I was always fascinated with that movie because I could definitely, I mean, that's actually a feasible system in the future. I do predictive analysis. That's what intelligence officers do. I understand how important it is, but this is going a bit far. That's your terrifying update from WEF. You can take it for whatever you want to take it as. Maybe it's a good thing for you. Me, I think technology and AI are a great thing, but I don't think that these people are the ones that should be implementing it in their little vacuum of neoliberalism. That ain't gonna work. You have these environmentalists, right? Extinction Rebellion. You're gonna have the same thing with technology because you're already starting to see that where people are anti-technocrat, right? But it will be interesting to see the wars that are fought over this in the future. But that's your terrifying news from the WEF and your conspiracy fodder for the week. I hope I did my job here and it didn't terrify you too bad, but I just want to make sure you understand what's going on. I recommend you watch the whole video on YouTube. I'll post the link in the podcast. But anyway, have a great day. Don't talk to your computer too much. get on DuckDuckGo. Comments, questions in the below, and don't forget we need your support and we need you to share this information with other people. Take care.